It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Just another word here, as I was reading through the whole Jamie Atkinson story. I must have met him at some point when I moved to Sayville, especially because he was so involved with the Navy SEAL Museum. But this is just reading through his accomplishments in 43 years of age. At 19, he was down there working at Ground Zero, and inhalation of toxic debris and search and rescue operations led to a rare form of cancer diagnosed years later and officially linked to his 9/11 service. And that was what he was battling. And then just passed away recently. But all the things he did for the community and EMS, and, you know, he served the MTA Police Department. You know, he went to, you know, graduate NYPD Police Academy. I mean, just so many different things that he was involved with, the Navy SEAL Museum. I mean, it really an inspiration. And 19, think about that, 19 years old going down there. And
got to truly admire the bravery, the self awareness to support his community, and then ultimately do what he did in his life in such a short period of time is nothing short of amazing. And it gives you actually a hopeful perspective of the human spirit.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, I wish I would have known him better. I saw the big, you know, ceremony out there on Main Street the other day. So I just wanted to give him a proper, word this morning to make sure I got his name out there and everything he did, because that's a local guy that you aspire to be, someone like Jamie there. So unfortunate that he passed away at such a young age of 43. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've had a plethora of topics today, including the class songs and baseball and Mike Brown and the Yankees and everybody's mad, and you know, we had some all-star discussions because, you know, everybody loves themselves an all-star game. And when we were looking at some of those names, you know, we saw a couple of familiar names up there. Guys who had been Mets, at least in their farm system or in the big leagues. Pete Crow Armstrong being one of them. Javi Baez being another one. Then we talked about Gleyber Torres, who obviously spent all those years with the Yankees. So Lenny in Florida wants to talk about that this morning. What's going on, Lenny? Good morning. Thanks for holding. How are you?
Hello?
Hello, Lenny.
Yeah, hi. How you doing, guys? I'm a long-time listener. I think it's very upsetting that we don't have Pro Arms Rule. And if Stern was in charge, we would have him. But unfortunately, he wasn't, because, you know, Stern would not give him up.
He'd not give up a young talent
like that.
You know, maybe not. I mean, a lot of these guys get traded and they end up being nothing. You know, this is one of those ones that's tough. You remember Jared Kelnick, you know, trading him in that whole Edwin Diaz deal, and he was supposed to be the greatest player in the history of the world. It really hasn't turned out that way. Pete Crow Armstrong is one of those guys that panned out. I mean, it's a tough one. But you don't know what David Stearns would have done at that point. And by the way, you know, the Pete Crow Armstrong that is now playing, you know, the evaluations of him at the time, maybe they didn't even think he'd be, you know, this type of all-star caliber player. But yeah, it's certainly frustrating. And it's also frustrating that the guy you traded him for, Javi Baez, who came here and was just basically a complete zero and then fought with the fans, is now out there in Detroit and then being an all-star as well. So it's mind-numbing, Lenny, but still got a good team, you know, still, you know, many in a much better spot than they were last year, so you got to forget about it, you know?
Well, you know, Stern doesn't believe in that George Allen, the future is now. He believes in building up a strong infrastructure. He believes in building up a strong farm system and having these kids develop. And it's a shame, because we would have a much stronger lineup. We really need another bat in there. Mm.
Yeah.
Especially at the bottom of the lineup.
Yeah, definitely, Lenny. Yeah.
I would say that, their pitching staff took too many major hits injury-wise over the last 3 weeks. And that part and parcel goes along with the ineptitude of the offense from time to time. And this is one of the reasons why they're in this swoon. And you got to believe that they're going to come out of it. Who knows? They'll win now. Who knows what they're going to do right prior to the All-Star break. But ultimately, they'll have to, sooner or later, their season will get back on track.
Yeah. You know, and it really, there's so many issues and so many fires to put out right now. The biggest of which is the starting pitching and the health of the starting pitching and getting, you know, the starts that you were getting from these guys early in the season. But, you know, we talk so much about Senga and Manaea, but let's not forget, you know, prior to his last couple of starts, Griffin Canning was unbelievable in April and May. And now he's gone. So what you need is Peterson to get back to who he was. You need Holmes to continue to be good. And then, you know, it's really about getting Senga and Manaea back and getting those guys to finish out this season strong. Because I believe, even though the bottom of the order has been rough, I still do believe that there'll be enough offense when it matters. It's just, it's getting this starting pitching back to being the, they were winning in April and May because they had the best ERA of any staff in baseball. That's why they were winning.
And they also have, you got to remember who they were playing in April and May.
Yeah, they got off to a very, very light start with the schedule. There's no two ways about it.
Right, so they're missing four starting pitchers right now as we speak. So if you count Tylor McGill as one of those guys, I mean, he's got a 5-5 record. He's got a 3.95 ERA. So you got to consider him one of those guys. And you know, every year we talk about this. Do you make the five-man rotation coming out of spring training? Who cares? Because by the end of the season, you're going to end up using 10, 11, 12 pitchers. At some point, because that's how long these seasons are, and that's how many injuries have happened to pitchers over the last 10 years.
Yeah. Yep. And that's part of the reason, you know, David Stern's theory on pitching is sort of exactly that, which is, you know, we're not going to sign guys to long-term contracts unless they are of a certain age.
They got four missing starting pitchers.
Yeah. I mean, it's
And two of them are supposed to be top of the rotation guys. And Peterson's supposed to be in the middle of the rotation.
He is. And last couple of starts for him, very discouraging.
That's why he needs a bounce-back start tonight.
Bounce-back spot. Josh in Springfield. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, what's going on this morning? Hey, how are we doing?
Good, good. What's up?
I want to talk about the Knicks. Obviously, they went with Mike Brown. My first part, I know they were further there. I know they were down the road with Jenkins, too. I was curious to get your thought about why you thought Mike Brown got the nod over Jenkins. And then, two, obviously they're making a couple big moves in free agency, which is great. Love to see them building up the depth. That was a big hindrance to last season and what kind of set them back a little bit. But all to say, is this enough season to kind of get them over the hump to make it further down the playoffs?
Yes.
Or, yeah. And that's really it, yeah.
Yeah, no, I believe that it is, but I also need to see Mike Brown get the best out of Karl Anthony Towns. But I love what they've done with the bench. And as far as, you know, hiring, if you just look, because we were talking through the resume earlier of Mike Brown. I mean, if you look through that, I mean, it is hard to argue. Now, I understand he's also a guy who maybe you could look at some of his teams underachieving and not getting over the hump and some of the same things
but
we say about Thibodeau.
But he could be the right guy at the right time.
But yeah, he could.
But we won't know that until this time next year.
Right. And so the reason why I believe that Taylor Jenkins was not the guy and Mike Brown was in their eyes is, you know, you had Taylor Jenkins, who was an assistant in the NBA only since 2013. He was a head coach for 6 years. He got Mike Brown in the top 10 of top winning percentages in all coaches in NBA history. And he's won several championships as an assistant. Been to a finals as a head coach, I understand, with prime LeBron, but still, you're talking about.
But this is a prime team right now.
Right.
The Knicks are a prime team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, you got to connect with the players. The players are going to like you. The players are going to want to play defense. He's going to have to be a taskmaster. We have all the things that we know that we want out of a coach. And again, like I said, this seems to be like a really likable team. And the guys that they're bringing in, these two new free agents, seem to be guys that you would respect.
Yeah.
And they're going to come out there like Isaiah did and like Dante did and hopefully bring an edge and an energy to that second group of players.
Yeah. I mean, I and as far as, you know, are they done? I mean, they're either done or something insane is going to happen. It's one of the two.
Don't you feel like they have to add another point guard, though?
Yeah, I mean, but that's going to be a minor move. You know, and because we talked about that this morning. They are trying to do that, and they're kicking the tires on, you know, they did on Russell Westbrook. They are, I guess, on Ben Simmons, which tells me that they're not really looking for, They want a guy.
Veteran minimum. It's got to be veteran minimum. That's what they have to do.
Right. Just somebody who's experienced that can give Jalen Brunson a rest, or God forbid he goes down for a period of time, that they can trust with the basketball in his hands.
Where do you keep campaign?
No. No, no, no. Let's move on from that one. Let's close that door and we'll move on. Unless it's Ben Simmons.
Well, I mean, Miles McBride is a point guard.
Yeah, but I think they like him more off the ball. And he's a guy, shoots threes, instant offense. They're looking for someone to settle things down, be in charge, be the captain of the offense, get the balls into the scorer's hands. I think that's what they want off the bench as far as a point guard when Jalen's not out there. You know, more of like a second unit facilitator is what they're looking
for. The one thing I would say is I would look at Mike Brown's history, where he was, who's played for him, and where are some of those players today? That's the thing that I would look at, because, maybe Leon Rose is saying, is there a player or two that you really like coaching that you think would be a good fit for this?
Well, let me think. Who's the best player that Mike Brown ever coached? Let's see.
LeBron?
It was LeBron, yeah, right? It's LeBron James. Yeah. And let's see. Who did basically say I'd want to see a great offseason? I'm going to request a trade.
Yeah, but the Lakers just added DeAndre Ayton.
Who is an underachieving, apparently, locker room
answer.
I hate saying that word right now after that whole story, but locker room, bad locker room guy. So, and that was like the biggest issue in Phoenix, apparently, was this guy. So is that something to get excited about if you're LeBron James?
I see what you're saying about DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when he left Phoenix, he was not very happy.
So I don't know if DeAndre Ayton's going to be the glue that keeps LeBron James.
Yeah, but they needed a big man.
Yeah, I know they did. And there's only so many options. But if Al Horford had gone there, as old as he is, I would think that would be the guy. LeBron would be like, yeah, we could do some stuff with him. A couple old guys out here. We got the experience. I love Al. But I don't think, does LeBron, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, would DeAndre Ayton be inspired to play with LeBron James?
I would hope so. Yeah, I would hope so.
You would think that you would be.
I mean, he was also just playing with Kevin Durant and Chris Paul for a while there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but,
right?
another you
and
know,
Devin Booker.
Plus now he's in the heartbeat. He's in L.A. now.
Yeah.
And he's playing with LeBron and Luka. Come on.
You better be inspired. But I don't. The bigger point being that Rich Paul, that he's going to try to get LeBron to the Knicks, and I don't think the Knicks will bite at this point. But he's going to try. There's no two ways about it. He's going to try.
Barring any minor changes that are going on right now, I think the Knicks are set. They are set, and then as the season goes on, if they need to make a trade or something like that, they can do that. But to me, their top nine are set. Unless they want to trade an asset like maybe a Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah. You know who LeBron James' agent was? Well, you know who his agent was when he was being coached by Mike Brown?
I don't know. Leon Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sniff, sniff. Scratch and sniff. Whatever you want to do.
I'm scratching, I'm sniffing.
Yeah, and you're sniffing.
I mean, is this not a connected dot spot?
It feels like a connected dot spot, but I don't think so.
Just like, I don't think so. There.
I do not think so.
I feel like it's right there. It's just on the precipice.
So when Jalen Brunson comes down the court and he's dribbling it and dribbling it and dribbling it, what's LeBron James supposed to be doing? Just standing around?
He's got tremendous basketball IQ, man. He'll be where he needs to be. Mm-hmm. You ever listen to that podcast with him and J.J. Redick?
You know what? They got the team right now. They got the team. And there may be a move here or there again, but they've got the team, at least for the Eastern Conference. They've got it. Stay healthy. They've got the team.
Yeah. Leon Rose actually negotiated that contract with Miami with LeBron, too, when he left.
Man, you are just relentless.
These are facts. I mean,
yeah, but why are we talking about these facts?
Because
you're relentless.
No, I'm not relentless. Relentless is you and Luka Doncic being fat. That's relentless.
I'm just telling you that if you go back to 2010, the Knicks laid everything out for LeBron and he said no. So if they did this
15 years ago,
it would be a colossal mistake. Colossal mistake.
15 years ago, Al Dukes was blacking out on vodka and proposing to girls.
They have got the team now. They got a group of guys.
A lot of things
guys.
Change in 15 years.
They've got a group of guys that are right in the middle of their prime. They're prime NBA players. They added two prime NBA-type players in free agency. They've added a head coach who's he's got all the experience. He's been around all sorts of organizations, championship teams. They have got what they need right now to get through the Eastern Conference Final, especially with everybody else that's going through what they're going through, with the exception of the Cleveland Cavaliers. That would be, to me, right now, the number one issue for me is, are we good enough right now to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers?
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Amazing to think someone did a song after he did Romo, You Suck.
Yeah, I mean, Al was the original Romo, You Suck, and then this song came along, and I know Al's in a legal battle right now with the the record companies, but yeah, this is one of those things you're going to be hearing as we are approaching the July 4th weekend, where everybody indeed will be partying. Do you have a lot of friends that do those zins there, Jerry, out on the golf course?
No.
What about
none,
you,
actually.
Boomer? You see these zins everywhere?
Yeah, just a couple guys.
A lot of zins.
Well, they try to get off of the
cigarettes.
And also the chew.
Right.
Or the dip.
Yeah.
I never understood why they don't allow those on the planes. Like, I saw an article, someone was kicked off a flight.
For popping zins?
Yeah.
Were they spitting?
I mean, you might as well take gum off the...
I don't know.
You don't spit with the zin.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I just know it's something similar to the little pouches.
Right. Yeah, so everybody's got them that I played golf with. And then I'm like, well, I mean, I got to try this thing now. I got like lightheaded and my stomach hurt. I was like, this sucks.
End up at the urgent care.
You don't have the need for it.
Right. I guess that's what it is.
Yes.
Like, if you're someone who is addicted to cigarettes or
nicotine,
all that stuff. It's not enjoyable.
Well, probably not the first time.
But why would you keep going back?
I don't know why you did it the first time. But
everybody's doing it.
Aren't they flavored?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My guy Jordan Davis, what I saw, he was popping a cinnamon zins. I'm like, this looks like fun. Looks like adult fun. Looks like adult fun, like Big Red something or whatever.
Is it tobacco?
Yeah, no, it's nicotine.
Nicotine.
It's tobacco-free nicotine pouches. What they are. So it's the nicotine that you want.
They say if you don't use nicotine on a regular basis, that when you do, some people use it to concentrate on a specific task. But the key is not to get hooked on it so that you're not always wanting it.
So maybe that's what it is. The golfers love to concentrate when they're out there. But for me, I didn't.
Or they've been smokers in the past. And,
yeah.
Or they've been using tobacco or some sort of dip. And they want to kind of use this instead of that. And thinking that they're getting or using something that's healthier for them.
You know, and I brought this up. It's good marketing strategy because on an Instagram ad I just had, it was Zin ball markers. So they had like the Zin pouch.
They have everything.
Little Zin pouch ball markers.
Stupid question, probably.
It's still owned by the Philip Morris company.
Is it nicotine that gives you, it's the tobacco that gives you the cancer, or is it the nicotine,
well,
the chemicals
nicotine
and nicotine?
Well, the nicotine is the addictive.
The addictive, right.
Which is why you want to smoke and why you want to use tobacco, but when you're smoking, you're sucking something into your lungs.
Right. What I'm asking is this Zin product a safe alternative, even though you could become addicted to it?
I would say safe, definitely safer than smoking.
Well, yeah, no, I'm talking about tobacco.
Tobacco dip, yeah, 100%. I think that's why, because it's just strictly nicotine in it, none of the other chemicals and stuff, I think. But yeah, not my thing. I got enough vices.
What flavor did you try?
I tried two flavors, actually. I thought, thinking that one would be better than the other. So cinnamon was the one I tried.
Okay.
Yeah. And then a winter green.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, but not for me.
I tried two types of Van Leeuwen's ice cream last night.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
What are the flavors?
Black cherry chip and mint chocolate chip, or mint chip.
Mint chip, yeah.
Very good.
You know, I am.
I think I'm addicted now.
I'm off brand with my favorite ice cream flavor. Very off brand. And it is. It's like
off brand. Like, so.
No. I shouldn't say flavor off brand.
Oh,
not
flavor off brand.
It's Haagen-Dazs.
Oh, Haagen-Dazs. Okay.
It's Haagen-Dazs, but it is. Like, I probably mentioned this before. No. Rum raisin.
Rum raisin. Okay.
I love rum raisin Haagen-Dazs.
I don't know that I ever had that.
Oh,
rum raisin.
It's the best. It's like a.
Yeah, I mean, it's like rum and raisins.
I was honestly about to say that.
Cold and smooth.
Were you working here when we had the Ben and Jerry's freezer in Astoria?
I was not, no.
That was one summer that they sponsored us, and every week they filled it up. And that's when I started to learn about calories.
I think I gained
12 pounds that summer.
Yeah, very, very quickly. Yeah. You could learn about calories when you got a full ice cream fridge. But yeah, anything chocolate, peanut butter, Häagen-Dazs chocolate, peanut butter is very good. But if I had to pick
Moose Tracks like that?
Moose Tracks is, yeah, Moose Tracks. But there's some, there's like, there could be marshmallow in Moose Tracks too. Yeah, Sabrina loves the Moose. It's fudge, vanilla, peanut butter. Yeah, I think in Moose Tracks.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah, I know. It really really does. All right, Jerry, what's happening, man?
All right, let's get to the baseball from last night. The Yankees down 8-0, but you know what? They battled back. They battled back to actually tie.
2-2. Pitch from Garcia. Breaking ball, swing on, driven deep to left, and there it goes. Aaron Judge, hey now! Second deck ties this game up at 9-9.
When it seemed like they were on their way. Even ball game, top of the eighth inning. You would think that things were in line for them to have this amazing come from behind win. Maybe the type of win that gets them going in the right direction again. Well, they went to Devin Williams in the bottom half of the eighth inning, and fair to say things did not go well. A one-out walk to George Springer, who promptly stole second base. You fast forward a little bit in the inning. He's now on third, and Williams did this.
Go ahead, run at third. Guerrero, he's at second. And Rice got to be real careful. Ah, geez, right there, man, a wild pitch. Springer scores. 10-9.
And 11-9.
You jackass!
11-9 would be the final. Addison Barger added an RBI single, and so the Yankees do fall, and they lose their grip on first place, at least by themselves. They're now tied with Toronto, both teams sporting 48-38 records, with Tampa just a half game back. Here was Ben Rice on the wild pitch.
That's on me there. I got to find a way to keep it in front. I was just talking about kind of what happened, if there was anything that we could do differently. But also it's tough, you know, it's during the game, everything's going a million miles an hour. It's tough to, you know, scrub through slow-mo video, but I'll look at it again
David
tomorrow.
Cohen thought the fact that he was on one knee was the probably the biggest issue there in terms of being able to slide over and block it. Here was Williams on that pitch.
I got to make a better pitch there, you know. Wasn't the easiest one to block for Ben, so, you know, I got to make a better pitch.
And then there's Will Warren, who gave up the 8 runs on 10 hits, 4 walks over just 4 innings. He was lit up in the top of the first inning. 7-0 was the score after one. Here was Warren, who was pretty honest.
As the game goes along, you know, we talk about game plan and stuff like that. Obviously, they're going to have a game plan. And then you just try to figure out, you know, what that is. And, all right, let's, if we need to, you know, alter ours, or, you know, if we're having success, just keep going with it. Tonight, I think I just didn't execute some of the pitches
That he was trying to throw. And so the Yankees will try to avoid the 4-game sweep tonight. We'll have it on the Fan. Clark Schmidt, Chris Bassett are the starters. The Yankees have struggled of late, losing 13 of 19. As for the Mets at Citi Field, they lost the first game of a doubleheader during the day in front of not many people. 7-2 was the final. You had the grand slam from Joey Ortiz, and the nightcap, Brandon Nimmo, returned the favor with a grand slam of his own as they did beat the Brewers last night.
Here's the first pitch. Nimmo hits it high in the air, deep to right field, down the line, near the wall. Frelick back, gone, grand slam. Brandon Nimmo jumps all over the first pitch from Jacob Mizorowski.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose, Mets Odyssey Radio with the call. Then Francisco Lindor with homer. Mets out to a 5-0 lead. They win 7-3. Nimmo led off, Lindor second. Little change in the batting lineup. Here was Carlos Mendoza on the shift.
Hey, it's baseball, you know. When I make a lot of decisions, you know, whether it's when I'm making out a lineup, when I'm making a pitching change, as you guys saw it, and they're going to work, and they're not going to, when they don't work, you know, it's on me. When they work, it's on the player. I mean, that's as simple as that.
And he's referencing the call he made in the previous game where he pulled out Clay Holmes at 90 pitches and it didn't go so good for Reed Garrett. They wound up losing the game, but the Mets do get a victory, split the doubleheader. Series finale tonight, David Peterson takes on Jose Quintana. Also of note, you had Francisco Lindor voted an All-Star Game starter, first time since he's been with the Mets since that happened. We know Aaron Judge is going for the Yankees, and Sean Manaea did pitch for the Rumble Ponies yesterday and said he felt pretty good after, I think it was three-plus innings, or at least into the fourth inning. Also Met-related, if you will, you had Steve Gelb. Yeah, they do the KidCaster
thing. Yeah, I saw this. Yep.
So here was Steve Gelbs on SNY going to find the winner of this year's contest.
I'm walking down to him right now to say hello and also to let him know. Hey, Antonio, what's up, man?
That's your name. God, he knows my name!
I do know your name. You want to know why I know your name?
Why you know my name?
Would you like to be the KidCaster with Gary, Keith, and Ron on July 22nd?
I would love to. Really?
Really.
So that's kind of
sandwich.
Cool. And then he asked for an example of what he would sound like.
You want to show us one right now?
Sure. Okay.
Go ahead.
Who should it be?
What are you wearing, Lindor? Do Lindor.
Okay. Lindor smacks one. Right field. This one back. It has a chance, and it's gone.
You guys see why he won?
So there you go. That'll be in a few weeks. You'll see him on a Tuesday night game, so that's kind of fun.
Very cool moment for the kid there.
Definitely a cool moment. Also a very cool moment in Los Angeles last night where you had Clayton Kershaw record the 3,000th strikeout of his career. Dodgers beat the White Sox 5-4. Just one from that. This was Freddie Freeman.
That was special. To be able to do it at home, 18 years he spent here in front of these fans, it's just special. So for him to get that one, and especially in the last one of his last at-bat, coming off the field, so these fans would give it to him, it's special.
And Dodgers win for the 55th time this season. He becomes the only the 20th pitcher ever to do so in the history of the game. One more oddity from baseball, if you will. The Lake Bluff Youth Baseball Association having a little bit of an issue these days. So you've heard of Cooperstown.
Yeah. Well.
Kids, 12-year, you know, 12U baseball team spent a lot of money to go to Cooperstown.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So they were there last week. Apparently, two of their coaches got fired, as we hear in this report from CBS Chicago.
Oh, my God! What the
hell? Children can be heard laughing in this video, which shows two men nude, one sprawling over home plate at a New York baseball field.
Wait, is he naked?
Oh, he was naked. Further explain.
The coaches, for reasons unknown and caught on this video, decided to go full Monty on the field.
So I don't know what's going on here, but there's video of these adult coaches sliding into home plate with nothing on. And the kids are like at center field, clearly videoing. So
what time of day was this?
It was nighttime.
When the lights
were
on?
The lights were on, and it was nighttime.
Wow.
So they've been fired. The thing that sucks, though, is they, for the kids, they were kicked out of the tournament.
Oh, no, that stinks.
But I think two other dads should have 100%. Got off their asses and coached the team to let them finish the tournament.
If they were given that opportunity, I don't even know.
That's why I'm saying. I mean, that trip is a lot of money.
Oh, my God. I mean, these guys, it's one of two things. I mean, and the most likely thing is the fact that they got completely bleep-faced and thought that would be a funny idea. The other is that these are just two complete perverts.
I would like to think it was the first.
Yeah, has
not
to
the
be.
Second. Right. I will say I coached a lot of teams. I never did
both.
That.
Hmm?
What?
Maybe they were a little bit of both.
Oh, yeah. I guess. I mean,
they were perverted, drunk, and alcoholic.
I know, but if they're coaching your kids, you hope they're not perverts.
What you hope not, but I mean, they're also.
I
mean,
that I didn't see. You could say video shows them from a distance.
I mean,
I couldn't.
You hope they're not, but then again, the reason we're talking about this is because they were sliding into home nude at Cooperstown.
Well, maybe they were a couple.
Were they a couple?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not that the story said.
Well, I mean,
what does that have to do with anything if they're a couple?
Well, usually, you know, couples do get naked together.
Right, exactly.
And slide headfirst into home plate on AstroTurf?
Well, but it's called they do get naked together.
Hitting a home run.
It's not as weird if they're a couple, actually.
It's not.
It's not because they've seen each other naked. It's weird if you're just hanging around naked with your buddy. That's weird.
It's all weird.
It's all weird, but it's less weird if you're in a romantic relationship with somebody.
These are adults nude at a youth baseball field.
I'm not defending it. I'm just saying it's
sounds
less
like
weird.
You're trying to defend it.
No. It's less. No, I'm not. It's less weird if they're a couple, because Boomer's right. Couples get naked together. Like, if me and you were just one day, we're like having a bunch of surf sides out in Bella Vista Country Club, like, you know what? Let's strip down and play this par 3 naked. That's weird.
Yes, but the difference here is that's a country club. This is a youth baseball facility.
But all of it's weird.
It's all weird.
All of it's
hey,
weird.
Jerry, would you like to go into the steam?
I'm good.
Have a surf side.
But thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, you never know. You never know what the These guys could have been on something, too. They could have been, like, ayahuasca in the face-off or something.
Yes. And the Knicks are hiring Mike Brown as their head coach. Okay. All right. Moment of the day. Boomer was in his glory yesterday golfing with G and a guy who was responsible for making changes and renovations at the golf course. So he was really having a good time. Unfortunately, though, they could not finish because Gio had an allergic attack of some sort.
I could play 100 rounds of golf with this guy.
Oh, yeah.
And just talk about the contouring of a golf course, how he sees things, what he wants to do. And, you know, it's just, I love the fact that he's able to be as creative as he is in his job. You know, and he worked with Gil Hance on a lot of different projects and a lot of very famous golf courses. And actually, I don't have the ability to be able to do what he does.
But you'd love to.
Oh, man, that would be awesome to be able to do.
Yeah, so he was a recreation of yesterday. So what do you think about getting rid of that cart pad that put in gravel? And I'm going... You know, so what'd you do with this? Was this bunker always here? Because this looks new. Yeah, well, what we did is we took the one out over there and we put one.
And then a trip to the urgent care would follow, but you're all good. So yes. Enjoy your week off and we will see you on the other side.
Who are you working with next week, Jerry?
Monday, Willie.
Monday, Willie. Tuesday?
I'm not sure, but I know Monday, Willie.
You should tell Willie he needs to be here by 3 a.m.
Why?
Because that's what he did to G with his golf tournament.
Yo, no, that's
oh,
right.
God. Good call.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Well, he knows better. This is not his first time.
Right.
You guys can tell, but we're starting early. We're going to have more meetings now. Tell him to get here at 3 a.m.
Okay. Yeah, and also tell him you guys are going to do the show naked together, right next to each other.
That, well, he sleeps naked.
Does he?
So I don't think he'd mind. I'm not doing that.
Well, but he probably, you know what's crazy? He probably wouldn't mind. Because he'd be sitting down, so like nobody would worry. And he's been naked in front of many men throughout his life. You think he'd actually do the show naked if you asked him?
I don't know. I doubt it. I think he would.
I think so, too. Stephen Waldron, would it be okay if Willie Colon did the show naked next week?
No, not really ideal for us, though.
Okay, not ideal for you. By the way, Stephen Waldron, got to give him credit, 9:44.
Still there.
On a Thursday, July 3rd, and he's still there.
Normally,
all right, see ya. Happy 4th.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on a feel good Thursday, July 1st, summertime, pinnacle of the year. If you miss any of the show today or any day, remember you can listen to Boomer and Geo podcast on the free Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's go to Scott in Flemington who joins us on the Fan this morning. What's up, Scott?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great, Scott. What do you got for us?
I'm a long-time listener. I had to just drop my son off. We're going to Citi Field tomorrow to watch the Yankees and the Mets, and you make my son laugh. He says he likes when you talk about farts and body parts, and we're big fans of the show.
Well, yes, yeah. That is about our level of humor, is that of a young boy.
That's a great way to spend a 4th of July, that's for sure.
That's awesome.
And he tells Mom, he's like, Mom, she says, why do you like listening to them? He goes, Dad, Mom, they talk about sports, and they talk about farts, and they make my laugh. And he goes, even if I don't know what they're laughing about, because it's over my head, I still love it. It's funny.
Yeah, well, that's great. And we hope he continues to listen. We appreciate those kind words. Scott, have a great time with your son during this weekend, of course. And it'll be a big weekend for the Yankees and Mets, that's for sure. I mean, this is going to be Willie Jerry. Is it possible they don't know who's working with Jerry the rest of the week, Al?
It's probable, yes.
Probable?
Yeah, I don't think they know.
I mean, today's Thursday, right?
Today's Thursday, yeah. But we got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday all covered.
Okay. And Friday would be Richard Neer, or no?
That I'm not sure about who's on the schedule Friday.
It's usually Richard. The big holidays, Richard Neer fills in for us. Like Christmas morning, Thanksgiving morning, 4th of July morning. That's when they dust him off and get him out in front of the listeners. But, yeah, I mean, that's an interesting one. Stephen Waldron has a question for me. Okay, what is this, Stephen?
Well, not more of a question, more of a comment. Everyone here at Paramount wishes you a lovely week off, and hopefully you binge Mop that.
Oh, that's right, yes. So this is what he was hoping for, yes, right. So Stephen did a nice job along with Rob Stecklow, who I met when he was working for DAZN and now works for Paramount, when I was complaining about not having a Paramount Plus access.
Yes.
Being a
CBS guy.
Yeah.
You know, you had one and Steven had one. I said, well, that'd be nice if I had one. Well, they came up and I got one. And I will indeed, I told Gina, she's very excited. I said, we're going to be watching Mobland now.
Yes.
And I don't have to erase one of your other subscriptions, cancel one of your other subscriptions to get Paramount, because that's what I was doing. I said, this one's going to go, and then this one we cannot add on. It's an eye for an eye now. Like, if you want Paramount, Hulu's got to go, or what vice versa, you know? Because she doesn't want to give up anything.
Putting your foot down.
Put my foot down.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, putting my foot down. But thank you, Stephen Waldron and Rob Stecklow. Really, Rob Stecklow is the one who got it done, because he reached out to Stephen, and then Stephen forwarded it to me. He's really the guy. And he also sent me a DM. But thank you, Stephen, for making sure that I gave credit on the air. That's very, very smart of you. Keith and Wantall. What's going on, Keith?
Hey, what's going on, Gio? How are you?
Great, man. What's up this morning?
Good. So I was calling in about the Zyn situation on the golf course.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. I got addicted to Zyns on the golf course myself. I didn't really smoke, but that one day I was like, I want a cigarette. You know, John Daly made it cool. And my friend's like, no, dude, you should try this. And this was like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. I was like, okay. Tried the Zyn. And where I'm getting with this is you have to be careful what level of Zyn you take. Mm. So there's different levels. I don't know if you're aware of that.
There's three and a six, right?
A three, a six. Sometimes people find these nines that are just outrageous. I will say they keep you sharp between the ears. I ended up, I think, birdieing the par three like right after I popped it in. So I was locked in. Been addicted ever since. It's horrible. But I want you to give it another shot because they are fantastic. They do help the golf game.
Well, listen, and you know me, I will do anything to help the golf game. If someone was like, friend goes, you know, I heard a story about, you know, a guy got naked and rolled down the green, you know, or whatever it was, took a dupe in the hole, and he shot a 78 that day. I'd be like, okay, I'm doing it. I'll take a dupe in the hole. I don't know, man. I mean, it feels like it's another thing that I shouldn't be doing, but if it helps, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm not advocating for it, no.
I mean, I'll give it one more shot, see how it goes.
I'm not advocating for it. You have two children.
I don't think that. I don't think it'll hurt you that much. I have to read into it a little bit, but I do have these friends where he says those nines. Like these people go to like Sweden and stuff and get these giant packages of it from Sweden.
Sweden?
Yeah,
they go to Sweden to get this.
They do. Well, they don't go. They order it from Sweden and it shows up, and then they'll like, you know,
Jesus,
said too much already. Probably.
Yes, you have.
Yeah, I'll give it one more shot. Whatever. Remember the people used to say that the, like, Viagra and ED medicine would focus in on the golf course, too? But, like, you can't be risking that. You know, because nothing's more exciting than, like, hitting a good shot or a long putt or a great drive.
And how are you going to explain your reaction to
exactly.
It?
Exactly. We walking down the fairway with a stiffy. Second shot if I hit a good one? No.
Can't be doing well, you've been known to do that, too, by the way.
Yeah, even without the Viagra.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a smart idea.